We are back on the Red, White and Brown Report podcast after what's been a good week for the Gunners with a midweek victory against Tottenham, where Matthew Flamini scored a brace which included a goal of Leo Messi's caliber. That was then followed up by a very entertaining fixture against an informed Leicester team. The game itself epitomized creativity, energy, horrific defending actually, but nevertheless a brilliant entertainment for some of our viewers and of course for all the Arsenal fans out there too, with some really fantastic end-to-end non-stop football. The team's actually amassed a total of 42 shots, and I think this has been the most number of shots in any Premier League game so far. So to talk about all this, as always, is Aman Jain. Aman.
Hi, Taz. I think, like you said, it was a great week. Great results. We beat the rivals, and then a good victory with 5 goals. So you can't really ask for more.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, I mean, maybe we can talk about for a few minutes about the Tottenham game, which again was a away fixture at White Hart Lane. Arsenal had a terrible week the week before. Tottenham were kind of on a surge with, I think, 2 victories on the trot in the Premier League, which is a lot for them. And they looked pretty solid. And the first half, Arsenal looked very good. A very unpredictable scorer, Matthew Flamini. The first goal was the ball ricocheted off Hugo Lloris, and who was there in the box to finish? It was Matthew Flamini. Yeah, it was very, it was a cagey game. Tottenham came back in the second half. They looked really solid. Harry Kane had a couple of chances and he could have easily scored. Nasser Chadli had a few good chances as well. And overall, I think just by the way the game was going, Tottenham were looking like they were going to snatch the victory away from Arsenal around the 60th minute-ish. But again, came back Matthew Flamini with a wonderful volley outside the box. And again, like I mentioned, this is almost Lionel Messi's caliber. It was a beautiful finish. If you haven't seen it, there are a bunch of vines floating around, and I highly recommend you go watch it. And yeah, what do you think about the whole game, Aman?
Yeah, like you said, it was quite a cagey game. I think both teams were in and out of the game. As much as Flamini's 2 goals were important, I thought the goal line clearance from Gibbs was equally important from Kane's shot. It almost seemed like going in, and it was, they used the goal technology to, it was literally just the last bit because it didn't cross the line. So that was quite important save. I thought he played reasonably well, given the fact that it was a weakened team. And, in the second half, for about 15, 20 minutes, Tottenham sort of dominated the game, but other than that, it was fairly even. And given our team selection, I thought it was a good game. But overall, I thought Debuchy was the biggest culprit. Maybe just lack of match fitness, but he just seemed completely out of sorts. Chambers had a very good game too. I thought he really was left exposed by Debuchy, but and he was unlucky to concede that own goal. And it was really a nothing thing, but there was no one to kind of give him cover. Just the final thing I would like to talk about that Tottenham game was, I don't know if you read about it, but on Ars blog, Tim Stillman wrote a column about an experience of going to White Hart Lane for an Arsenal supporter. And really, if you haven't read it, I'd highly recommend it reading. I think anyone who thinks of going to Tottenham to watch a game after that would shelve those plans, because it seems like it's the most horrible experience you can ever have as an Arsenal fan.
I haven't read it before, but a quick synopsis of what he was trying to say. Was it the whole banner coming down, which was an absolute disgrace, I wanted to point out.
Yeah, I mean, you can't condone the banner coming down, but the fact is that all the Arsenal supporters were stopped from coming out for like 45 minutes, and they were just stuck there because because of the violence that they would have faced if that gone out sooner. So while you kind of can't condone it, at the same time, given the conditions, if you are stuck there 45 minutes, you're going to be up to some mischief or the other. And to be fair, it was a Velcro banner, so it's not like it's a proper damaged thing. You just put them up back.
Well, I think, yeah, I don't buy the whole Velcro argument. I read it sometime on Twitter, and then it just frustrated me even more. It does not give us the freedom to go pull down or vandalize the entire stadium, but sure, I get the argument about Arsenal fans being stuck inside the stadium for 45 minutes. But again, I mean, you know, it's a big North London derby. It's a cup game. It's a knockout game. You know, once the home team loses, you know, well, you living in London, you probably should know more than anyone else, like how nasty the streets can get. So, I think it's fairly reasonable, to expect a certain delay.
Because I don't think it happens when Tottenham comes to Arsenal. And obviously, I don't know what to read about Tottenham fans, but if you read that column from Tim, he clearly says that you are actually threatened and you feel physically threatened and you fear for your safety and you get spit on and you get coins thrown at you while going into the stadium, while coming out of the stadium, and you really feel for yourself that if you even smile if Arsenal win, or if you show the gloomy after Arsenal loses and they catch you, then you really don't know what's coming next. And it seems at least, and it's not just an Arsenal fan's perspective, because like there was another guy who's quite a famous comedian here, and he was saying that I'm not bringing my 13-year-old son ever again to Tottenham. So it seems like it's an issue. It's not just an Arsenal Tottenham kind of thing which is being said about.
Well, I mean, if you have a 13-year-old son, you probably shouldn't take him to most of the football games with all the insults being thrown around. But that's something that I would love to experience. But hopefully I'd like to experience an Arsenal-Tottenham derby game at the Emirates and maybe not at the White Hart Lane. But following that brilliant game at Tottenham, we were on a surge, of course. And that followed into the weekend's picture on Saturday against Leicester City at the King Power Stadium. And I described the game a little bit. It was one of the most entertaining pieces of football I've seen in, I want to say, at least in the last year or 2 years or so. Because both teams were extremely open. Defending was absolutely horrendous. Jamie Vardy, Drinkwater, both of them had a really good chemistry going on. It's really nice to see a team playing at home who have the same mentality as Arsenal. And both teams are kind of playing on the counter-attack and capitalizing on really terrible defending from either sets of players, which made it for a really entertaining watch. And I actually thought Leicester City was a little unlucky, having gone up 1-0. They had a couple of really good chances with Jamie Vardy hitting the post again, hitting the crossbar again with his header, and no one to follow up on that. But it was inevitable that Arsenal was going to score one goal on the counter-attack as soon as Leicester City scored. So Alexis Sanchez ended up getting a hat-trick, like we were worried about him scoring a goal for Arsenal ever again. Theo Walcott was very clinical. I think it was totally his kind of a game, where Leicester City was playing a high line. Theo Walcott had plenty of room to go behind Wes Morgan and the other Leicester City defenders, but I think it was Robert Huth. Wes Morgan and Robert Huth had a lot of chances. He troubled the entire defense. I still don't buy the Theo Walcott as a striker argument. He might fit well in games like this, or maybe a game versus Everton or Swansea, where, you know, they sort of tend to get out of the blocks and play a high line. But Theo Walcott scored, Alexis Sanchez scored, Mesut Ozil had a peach of a game, brilliant assist, and towards the end, although having missed out on a lot of the initial fun that all our strikers were having during the first 70 minutes, Olivier Giroud came on for the last 10 and did end up getting a goal himself. So overall, a fantastic piece of attacking football, fantastic piece of attacking football throughout the game. We saw a total of 7 goals being scored. And yeah, some of your thoughts about the game, Aman?
Yeah, I actually thought, I would disagree that only in the terms of that the defending was terrible. I thought we were pretty good, except for maybe the first 10-15 odd minutes. I think once Flamini went off and Arteta came on, I don't think Leicester really had any chances from inside the D till late, till about 70th, 80th minute. And I think the other factor I thought was, in fact, again from our blog, he pointed out quite correctly that they only had the chances again once Oxlade-Chamberlain came on the right and Rambo came off. So that just shows the fact that Ramsey on the right makes a big difference, because of the fact that if Bellerin is going to go up, Oxlade-Chamberlain still doesn't have that game savvy to be able to control the right-hand side. So while all these, I mean, obviously the products go to Alexis and Theo, I thought overall our defense did pretty well. I thought Mertesacker had a good game. Cech was excellent. He made a lot of crucial saves. Koscielny was also pretty good, like as usual. And Monreal had a great game. I thought he got maybe one or two assists. And overall, his positioning was great. I think Mahrez really didn't have a shoe-in at all the whole game. He had to fall back quite deep to collect the ball. He didn't really get any joy against Monreal, in spite of the concerns about lack of pace in Arsenal midfield or Arsenal defense and being exposed to that pace. I thought they coped up pretty well, and we didn't really give them any chances for most of the second half and the second half of the first half. So it was pretty good performance by Arsenal, but like you said, Leicester did play into our hands by playing that high line which really suited Theo perfectly. So yeah, it was a good game with Theo. Let's hope that he will be able to do it against teams which sit deep and don't give him so much space to run into.
You know, I think with teams that sit so deep, Theo Walcott would still be valuable because he'll still draw defenders out just because of his pace, and that will leave room for Ozil and Alexi to move in. And we know the striking capabilities of Alexi outside of the box. So I think it still might end up working. I'm not a huge fan of Aaron Ramsey playing on the right, only because he takes a little away from our attacking capabilities on the right. But I agree with you on the fact that he tracks back very well and he's a good defensive option. But again, Aaron Ramsey should be out in the center, if not Oxlade-Chamberlain has to be on the right.
I completely disagree. I just can't see Oxlade-Chamberlain right now playing in the first 11. It's just every time he has played, he has given away ball at very bad places. And
Ox had a good game versus Tottenham. I thought he was the man of the match versus Tottenham in midweek.
I don't think so. I mean, he just had one shot, but again, of course, that assist. But other than that, I don't really think he had a great game and definitely wasn't man of the match. Man of the match has to be Flamini after 2 goals. Come on.
Well, I mean, I'm saying man of the match, not in terms of goal getters, but also just in terms of like the overall play. I watched like an extended highlights reel, which was only 25 minutes compared to the 90, but it definitely did show Ox in good light. I think that debate is like an ongoing debate. Wenger obviously prefers Aaron Ramsey playing on the right. I doubt he will work against teams which have tall players, especially because his crossing capabilities are very limited. And again, his crossing abilities. Aaron Ramsey's crossing abilities are very limited.
He won't cross ever anyway. And who is going to take headers? Theo is not going to head you too many goals in. So I don't see, in terms of crossing abilities, I mean, we don't really have a crossing game. So I don't see that being a reason. Or for that matter, I don't think Oxlade-Chamberlain has a great, particularly good cross.
Ox makes those runs.
Probably Bellerin.
well, Ox is a better dribbler of the ball, and he makes his runs inside the box from the right. And I think those are extremely crucial.
Yeah, but then that is with crossing. So you said crossing. Though. I'm saying crossing is.
Well, I'm saying crossing in general. Crossing does not. I didn't mean lob crosses. I meant like crosses down the ground as well. And Aaron Ramsey is not the best to do that from the right. He gets some really good balls.
I mean, as long as you're just passing the ball, then that's just not. I mean, I don't think we thrive on the crossing game so much. And
wait, cutting back inside from the right.
Completely. Ramsey offers you a lot more threat in terms of shooting ability. So, I think it's just a completely different dynamic to what Ox does. So, I don't think they are really a replacement for each other. When Ramsey plays, it's a different game plan really than what Ox plays.
Absolutely, and I agree with you the fact that both are not interchangeable. But I'm saying that it would suit Arsenal better to have Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain start the game and move in with a fast pace on the right and have Bellerin sit back. I just don't see the threat going down from the right, especially if Theo is playing in the center. We know his hold up play is probably
but
not
Arsenal
as good as.
Said, but if you look at Wenger's history, he never have attacks both sides attacking. So if you have one side attacking, then usually if it's only one of the fullbacks who attacks and the other defends. I mean, more defensive. While one of the wingers is more attacking and the other winger is slightly held back. So you will never really have all four bombing forward. So for example, when Perez used to do that, on the other side you will have Ljungberg which will sit back and make really late runs. So in that sense, Ljungberg was always a bit like Ramsey while Perez will be a Sanchez kind of a player.
But Ljungberg was a winger.
No, he was a winger, but he was not really not an Ox who won't dribble. He will again just come up late into the D and kind of score, which sort of Ramsey sort of does. I'm not saying Ramsey is as much of a winger as Ljungberg was, but I still think Ramsey. I mean, I would love to have Ox if he plays well, but he's just not at a stage right now where he in a position to be starting.
I think Ox, just the nature of his play, he is obviously more capable of losing the ball and more susceptible to counter attacks. And that
no, I don't think so. It's not just the nature. I think his positioning, etc. Even for example, in the second goal we conceded, he just stood there without really doing anything against Leicester.
Yeah, I get the argument. I'm not disagreeing with you that Ox tracks back. It's a definite area that he should be working on. But I'm saying that with Ox in the team, I like the dynamite approach that he takes. He runs the defenders, runs down the line, cuts back inside, and then
Sanchez is already doing that for you. I'm saying it's just sort of you can't have everybody bombing and power at the same time.
Well, let's table this argument for a more refined conversation over beer, because I'm sure both of us have our own views, like we did about two or three episodes ago. Let's agree to disagree on this one. But one last point. Can I make one last point about Aaron Ramsey? If you ask Aaron Ramsey about his favorite position, it's down the middle. I think that's where he's going to score most goals. That's where he's going to get more shots.
Yeah, I'm not denying that. I'm not for a moment saying that Ramsey doesn't want to play in the middle. And I would love for him to play in the middle. But in the current combination, you don't have a choice. And that's it. It's where, will you prefer to be out or be playing? You prefer to be playing in the right than sitting out.
So, in games where we do need more physical presence in the center of the park, and Theo Walcott obviously is not the strongest Arsenal players, or at least he could be the strongest, but he's definitely not the biggest Arsenal players around. So, in situations like those, we need Giroud up front, Theo Walcott on the right, Alexi on the left, Ozil in the middle. One has to be sacrificed. It's either does in situations.
I just can't see Bellerin and Theo starting on the right. It just can't see that happening. And given the way Debussy is performing, I can't see Debussy starting either. So I just in any game I can't see it happening.
Fair enough. But this week was all about good things at Arsenal. All about the victories, the two consecutive victories that we had, one in the League Cup and one in the Premier League. Any other thoughts about the game against Leicester?
Only that I had captained Alexis Sanchez, my fantasy team.
Well, I mean, I just looked at this. You are now number one in our fantasy, in a small mini group out there. And that was solely because of Alexi's goal. I'm catching up, by the way. Alexi was on my team. I just didn't think he would score as many goals. So he was my vice captain, and my captain was Paye. And he ended up getting one assist. He could have easily gotten a second assist for West Ham. But I ended up getting about 8 extra points for him versus getting 20 extra for Alexis Sanchez. But a couple of other, from a very footballistic weekend perspective, Chelsea ended up drawing a game that they should have lost. Chelsea ended up drawing versus a very good Newcastle side, like a rejuvenated Newcastle side, which had Ayoze Perez score. I was very excited watching the game. Manchester City dropped massive points against Tottenham, a 4-1 loss, in spite of the fact that Kevin De Bruyne ended up scoring very early on. Tottenham came back with 4 goals. Admittedly, all of those goals were, it was a little contentious. Most of those goals, Kyle Walker was like yards offside. I don't know how the linesman didn't give that one. But overall, it's good to see people drop points. Man U won 3-0 versus Sunderland, but again, it was a game I wasn't expecting them to lose or draw. Rooney finally ended up getting a goal via his knee. Martial looked very good in that game. Juan Mata has been in good scoring form. He's my next fantasy league pick. What else? Which other games were exciting this weekend? I think apart from that,
the Liverpool game was pretty good.
The Liverpool game was really good. And you mentioned earlier that all the big hitters have started scoring again. Danny Sturridge, we had Wayne Rooney score, we had who else?
Sanchez.
Alexis Sanchez, of course, ended up getting a hat-trick. So, finally, things getting back to normal in the Premier League where you don't have Callum Wilson. Callum Wilson had a very terrible knee injury. Hope he recovers well. It's very crucial for Bournemouth to have him back in the squad.
I think he's going to be out for a few months.
I would guess so. A knee injury is definitely 4 or 5 months out. Talking about knee injuries, apparently Jack Wilshere had a pretty good successful surgery, and Wenger is expecting him back in sometime at the end of December, maybe right after Christmas.
Let's see. I mean, given Arsenal's record and especially Jack Wilshere's record, we just have to take it how it comes.
I guess. I feel bad for the lad. But given the weekend's results, Man U moved on top of the league. Now Arsenal are sitting fourth behind Manchester City. Behind Manchester City and West Ham. It's going to be an exciting next couple of weeks where Arsenal is hosting Manchester United. Any predictions for the game?
Well, hard to predict, I guess, right now, especially with both Arsenal and Man United so unpredictable. But I think really we should be winning that game. And there's really no reason that for us not to win that game.
You know, again, I want to be a little cautiously optimistic. I think Juan Mata has always troubled Arsenal. whether it be at Chelsea or the few performances he had for Manchester United. And I think with Martial and the form that he's in, he might pose a few challenges for Bellerin or the likes of maybe, if Coquelin is not back, then maybe even Arteta. We'll have to wait and watch, but we will bring you the Red, White and Brown Report podcast again after the game versus Manchester United, and hope to have you back there. And I'll have more disagreements with Aman. See you guys next week.
I look,